Like this morning, as you have had mentioned already from the book of Proverbs, in our continuing study in Proverbs, is watch your mouth. And so I'd ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 15. I'm going to have two short readings this morning, first in chapter 15 and then in chapter 17. Chapter 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. And then in chapter 17. Chapter 17, reading at verse 4. An evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. A present is a precious stone in the eye of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers. He who covers transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates the best of friends. We trust the Lord will bless to our heart the public reading of his word. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these very practical instructions that are given to us. And we pray that as we would consider them this morning, that it might not just be certain wise sayings that we'll consider, but that it might be your voice speaking to us. We recognize that all of us, to one degree or another perhaps, have problems with our lips and with our tongue. So we pray that you'll just speak to our hearts. We commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yesterday, my grandson and some of us were able to go to Philadelphia. And one of the places that we visited was, I think they called it the Hall of Freedom. That might not be the right name, but it was something of that sort. And one of the things that I saw listed on the wall there were some of the freedoms that are spoken to us from our Constitution and from our Bill of Rights. And one of the ones that I know is perhaps one of the most precious ones is the freedom of speech. And it's one that is closely watched over. It's one that people claim to enable them to say virtually anything. But one wise man, a number of years ago, talking about freedom of speech, he had this to say. He said, some of these freedoms are limited. They are there are bounds in them. And of course, when you think of that, he said, we're not free to go into a crowded theater and shout fire if there is none. There's a limit to some of these things. And one of the things that the Word of God has to say, and there are many, many sayings in the Word of God. These particular ones have been selected for us for our reading today. Even in our ordinary day-to-day speech, there's certain things that we say, certain proverbs that we have that have to do with our speech and our language. For instance, there are those that say that speech is silver, but silence is golden. There are times when it's good to hold your tongue. Another saying that's very popular is least said, soonest mended. And sometimes when we get into an argument, that's something that it's worthwhile thinking about. And sometimes One of the things that was in the printed lesson that we were following was that sometimes in some of these situations, it's good not just to count to 10, but perhaps to count to 100, to make sure that what finally does come out of our mouth is something that is not going to be injurious to others. Of course, we all know, too, that when we look at the Word of God, there are a number of synonyms that are used in connection with our speech. It talks about our mouth. And so the title that I've given to our meditation this morning is Watch Your Mouth. But it also talks about our tongue. It talks about our lips. It talks about a number of issues in that way. And of course, it's been pointed out that we have two lips and one tongue. We've got two ears and one tongue, and that perhaps we should listen twice as much as we speak. So there are a number of things just from common wisdom that are interesting for us. But what we'd like to do for a little while today is, first of all, to consider the sorts of things that come out of our mouth. And of course, this is something that I'm sure all of us are aware of. It's not something that we necessarily have to list. But in thinking about it, I was thinking, well, you know, some of the things that are connected with our lips or with our talk is the question of lying. Are we liars? The Word of God has some very strong things to say in the book of Revelation. One of those that are going to be shut out from heaven are those that are liars and the ones that make and promote lies. Talks about the perverse tongue. Talks about spiteful tongues. One of the verses that we read this morning had to do with spitefulness. The loveless tongue. Those that have no concern for others. And so some of the things that we read had to do with that attitude of lovelessness. And sometimes it's displayed by our mouths. And then there's the critical tongue. And it's interesting that when we come into the Word of God, we find that the Word of God is set before us as the ultimate critic of that which we do and say. And yet sometimes we, in our speech, are so critical of one another as to hurt and to injure. And what about gossip? You know, sometimes we tend to put gossip aside and well, it's not terribly important, it's not very hurtful, and yet perhaps sometimes that people's reputations and people's characters have been destroyed more by gossip than by outright sin. There's the foolish tongue. The Word of God tells us that every idle word that we speak, we're going to have to give an account of it to God. And so the Word of God goes on and on in this way. Of course, it also talks about loving speech. It talks about gracious speech. And there's so many areas in which we can look at ourselves and put ourselves in the light of the Word of God and discover what it is that God desires of us. It's interesting, and I don't want to go back over what we talked about last week, but if you go back and look in Proverbs chapter 6, of those seven things that are listed as things that God hates, you'll find that three of the seven have to do with our speech, have to do with our tongue. And so here are certain things that are set before us that God says that he hates. And so it is very important. And the plenty of the words that come from our mouth are sometimes we need to take care about it. We're also reminded of the power of speech, the things that speech can do. And in some of these verses that we've read, words can inflame. We read together there in chapter 15, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And the word there for harshness, I understand, is a very strong word. And so it can inflame tempers and sometimes we speak unadvisedly with our lips, and as a result, it stirs up anger in the hearts of those and the minds of those that hear. And then again, the power of words can injure, and we suggested this just now. Talk about character assassination. And sometimes just with one or two words, we can destroy a person's reputation, and how important it is, how careful we need to be in these kinds of things. We talked about lying. Words can imply things, sometimes without even the direct lie, sometimes just by implication. And one of the things that in recent years that we've seen here in our own country is people in power who parse their words. It depends what is, and that kind of thing. And so we need to be aware of this and to understand the power that there is in being able to deceive sometimes by the things that we say. But of course, words too can inspire people. And my grandson is with us this week, and he's a bit of a history buff, and he's been enjoying some of the books that we have of the words and the speeches of Sir Winston Churchill. And I can remember as a boy hearing his speeches on the radio. "We will fight them on the beaches, you know, and I have nothing to offer you but blood, sweat, and tears." And he rallied the nation at that time to stand against a common enemy. Words can instruct and can inspire as we think of some of the things that can come out of our mouths. And so the Word of God is here, and it reminds us of these things, not only of the plenty of the words that pour out, as it says here, the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness, the plenty that there is in our speech, but also the fact of the power. And I'm sure that just in thinking about some of these things, we're reminded too of the peril that can be associated with our words. And James takes this up, you recall, in his little letter, a letter that David Long calls that scalding little letter. And really it is, and it deals in very practical ways with different areas of our lives. And when he talks about the tongue, he uses some very striking illustrations. He talks about the ship's rudder. And he says, "You see how great a ship is turned by such a small rudder." And we think of that. And I was telling my grandson when we were down in Louisiana a couple of years ago, and I think I maybe told you about this before. We were taken out on a sailing boat, and I'd never been in a sailing boat before. I knew nothing about sailing. And we got out onto the lake, and the owner of the boat handed me the tiller and said, "You steer, I'm going to look after the sails." You know? And I didn't know how to do it, because it works back to front from the way you steer a car. When you turn the rudder, you have to turn it opposite to the direction you want to go, or, you know, whatever. And we almost landed on a sandbar because I didn't know. And we think of the tongue in this connection. And we think of this little member that James speaks about that is in our mouth, and the influence that it can have, and the direction that it can send lives in. Great vessels turned by such a little thing. But he not only talks about the ship's rudder, which determines the direction of a life, but he also says that the tongue is like a fire. And he says it is set on fire by hell. And he uses this very striking illustration. And of course, fire, as we know, and as we've seen even in our own country this year, when things have been so dry, fire can be a good servant, but a dreadful master. And as you think of the tremendous fires that there have been, the forest fires, and that have devastated huge areas, and this fire that's going on even right now in Oregon, that has burned almost 500,000 acres of land, dreadful results that can come. And sometimes it only takes the little spark of a word to start a tremendous fire in the hearts and lives of those that we're speaking to. And so There are all these different sorts of mouths that are brought before us in the Word of God and some of the instructions that are given to us in this connection. But I want to move on beyond that, because these are things that I'm sure all of us are conscious of, things that we're aware of, things that maybe we have experienced. Maybe somebody has made some cutting remark to us and it has hurt us. And maybe sometimes it takes years to get over something like that. Our daughter Annette, was when she was in Teachers College, and some of you perhaps have seen the same thing. It's a poem, and I don't know how to quote the whole thing, but it talks about the kind of speech. If you live with a child with a critical spirit, he's going to grow up to be a critical person. If you're constantly harping at him, that's the kind of, if it's a hateful tongue, the child is going to grow up hating, and so on. And so we know of these things, and we're conscious of it, we're aware of it, because many of us have experienced these things in our lives. But perhaps the more important thing is to look at the source of these things. Where do these things come from? And we find that, again, the Word of God is very clear as to some of the things that we need to be aware of. But I would suggest, first of all, that much of our language today, and as an old fogey, I'm becoming more and more conscious of this, is that language today is driven to a very large degree by culture and environment. And what kind of associations do we have? Those people that we keep company with. And tragically, one of the things that many of our young people, and maybe some of us older ones, are experiencing is what has come to be known as trash talk. And many of the songs, many of the stuff that's out there, many of the things even that we're listening to on the television or on our radios, these are things which are forming and shaping our minds and our language and the things that we say. You know, it used to be said that a gentleman would not use bad language in front of a lady. And unfortunately today, and it boggles my mind sometimes, is to listen to bathroom language that's coming out of the mouth of women. And it seems that we have lost all sense of shame in talking and using this kind of language. And so many of these things are coming from the associations that we have in our culture. And the Word of God is very strong about this, because in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul in verse 4 speaks very forcefully about these things which are done in secret and which are shameful. And he says we shouldn't even be talking about these things. They are things which should not be part of our conversation, part of our language as we live it day by day. But you know, it's not even necessarily the associations that we have, but sometimes the exposure that we allow ourselves to have. And again, and I don't listen to it if I can possibly help it, but some of the rock music and some of the rap music and some of the hip hop and this, and we listen, you hear stuff coming out of the mouths of these people, and we're being exposed to it. And again, it creates tracks in our mind and sets up language in our mind that we shouldn't have. And it's not just in music, but in the workplace. And again, having worked as a tradesman and having worked at the workbench, and you listen to some of the language and some of the things that are discussed, and do we allow ourselves to be exposed to this? And so this can be one area for the source of some of the language that we fall into the trap of using. There's also the source of carelessness. And again, there is this thought that sometimes unwillingly, sometimes unwittingly, we are exposed to some of these things, and they make impressions on our mind. And in a moment of carelessness. Maybe sometimes some of these things come out. And I find it interesting that in this same book of Proverbs, in chapter 17, the last verse in the it says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. So that there is this thought that in a moment of carelessness, when we're not conscious, when we're not taking care of the things that we're thinking about, that some of these things can come out. And I tried to quote the little motto last week and mangled it. Don't put the tongue in motion until the brain is in gear. And how important it is that we be conscious of the things that we're thinking about, because these are the things that are going to start to come out of our mouths. Many of you will know and have remembered my dad, and of course you know that as a young person at 16 years of age, he went into the shipyard to be trained as a shipwright, building ships, and heard language and things at that time that just forced themselves into his mind. And in his latter years, when he was already into his 90s, and his memory was starting to slip a little, and things were becoming difficult to remember, one of the things that he said repeatedly to us is that the Lord would preserve him, that in moments of carelessness, those things which he thought were buried deep in his mind, that these things might suddenly come out. And we know that these things happen, and that it is possible. And so there is this area of carelessness. But can I suggest that perhaps even more, yes, it's true that culture shapes our language. And sometimes carelessness can lead to us speaking and saying things that we would rather not have said. But you know, the basic line, the bottom line, if you like, is that character is going to determine how I speak. And the saying that has been mocked and yet is so true is that character counts. And the Word of God is very strong with regard to this. In fact, if we go back to Proverbs chapter 4, it tells us there, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it spring the issues of life. So that what is in my heart, the character that I have, the things that I'm going to be taken up with, this is what is going to shape and determine the kind of things that I say. But I'd ask you to turn over to Matthew chapter 15, because we find here that the Lord Jesus himself had much to say about this. There was an occasion when the Lord Jesus was being challenged by people of his day. And we find that Matthew chapter 15 and verse 17, he had been challenged about the fact that his disciples were not following the Jewish rules and the Mosaic rules of washing hands and washing pots and pans and all the rules of hygiene that were implied with that. But the Lord Jesus had this to say, verse 17, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. You see, it's not what goes in, but what comes out. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. It is true that certainly as far as hygiene is concerned, hygiene is important. But the stress that the Lord Jesus was making is this fact that what is in my heart, has my heart been such, is it in such a state that the things that I say are a reflection of what is in there? Because it's out of the heart, as the Lord said, that these things come, murders and evil speaking and fornication and all this other stuff that is so prevalent in the world today and that we're hearing on every side. And I ask myself, what is in my heart? What is it that I am filling my heart and my mind with. And so we need to examine, how do I deal with this matter? How do I deal with the question of what is in my heart? What can be the salvation of my speech so that when I speak, I'm going to bring blessing instead of cursing into the lives of others? And we need to begin with the fact that our hearts need to be cleansed. Because as the Lord said, out of the heart proceed all of these things. And if we have an evil heart and our heart is full of this kind of stuff, then that is what is going to come out. And so we need to begin with the premise that if we're going to have good speech, clean speech, then the heart has to be cleansed. And we go over to Romans chapter 9 and verse 10, which tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And here is the beginning. This is what is going to determine the kind of things that are in my heart if my heart has been cleansed. If I've been saved from that root of sin which is within my heart and my life. Now, of course, we're not teaching sinless perfection. But here is where we start. This is where the Word of God would turn us, first of all, in order to cleanse our speech, in order to help us to watch our mouth. If you will confess with your mouth. And again, as was mentioned earlier, we don't know everyone that's here. We thank God for each one that is here this morning. And you know your own heart, and you know your own life. You know your own habits. You know your own speech. And I would ask you this morning, have you started at this point? Have you gone to the Lord Jesus, confessed him with your mouth as your Lord, asked him to save you from sin, asked him to clean your heart so that you can make this start, that your life is going to be pure and just and righteous before him? And so here's the bottom line, if you like. Here's going to be the salvation for our speech. But then we move on from there, because I know that there are probably, maybe most of us, maybe all of us here this morning, again, I don't know. Maybe we have already done this. Maybe we have asked the Lord to come into our hearts and to save us. But what kind of a reaction, what kind of an evidence of that is there in my life and in my speech day by day? We move over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we find there that it speaks about care for others. That I'm going to care how I speak to others as I deal with them day by day. It tells us there, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. The things that I say, am I so concerned about it that it's going to build up others, or is it going to tear them down? Am I so burdened to be of honor to God that I'm going to be able to speak in ways that is going to be helpful to them? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And so here is going to be one of the evidences of how I deal, what has happened in my heart. How do I speak to others? Most of you probably know that different times since we've been living here in Belmar, it's been my joy and my privilege to do some marriage counseling and then to conduct weddings. And it's always a joy. But one of the things that I speak to young people about very often when I counsel in this way is, you know, when the glow of first love is there and you're going together and you know, you spend time together and you're whispering sweet nothings in each other's ears and all your speech is so delightful. The wedding day comes. And the door slams on the car, the wedding car, as you drive off. And the wife starts to talk too much and you say, shut up. I've heard these things. Maybe not as the waiting car is driving away. But I'm appalled sometimes at the way married couples speak to each other. What kind of care? What kind of love? What kind of love not only for our spouse, but what kind of love for God am I showing by the things that I do and the things that I say? And so we're reminded that, first of all, there has to be the cleansing of the heart. And then this is going to be demonstrated in our care for others. But you know, there's one more thing. And we find that the psalmist in Psalm 45, that delightful psalm where he begins, "My heart is bubbling over with a good matter. I speak of the King." And what does he say? He says, "You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever." And there is the example that we have. And so we find when we come over to John chapter 7, and there were those who were sent to arrest the Lord Jesus and to try and trap him in his words. What was their response? What was their testimony when they went back? "No man ever spoke like this man." And here is the example that is set before those of us who claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, that I have asked him to be my Savior, that I'm following him day by day, that this is being demonstrated in my love and my concern and my speech, my behavior with others, so that I might build them up and encourage them day by day. But above all, that I might be copying the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to some of those in his day, he said, "Be imitators of me, even as I am of Christ." And here is the example that is set before us. And Lord willing, tonight, if we have an opportunity, and I would encourage you to come back if you can. We want to, you know, some of these practical things, these are not easy things to speak about. Much easier to speak about the Lord Jesus and the beauty that we see in him. And we want to consider him. And it was said concerning him that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And while maybe there are going to be times when it's necessary to speak truth that might seem to be harsh, it can be done in grace and to be done in love. And so here, as we consider our topic for today, watch your mouth. Where do these things come from? We know the symptoms of them. They're all around us on every hand. We know something about where it comes from. It comes from a heart that has not been cleansed. And the solution, the salvation of that, is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him, and to live for him day by day. The Lord help us then, that we might be like him, grace poured upon our lips, and therefore God can bless us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for these things that we've considered this morning. Again, very practical things, and yet we thank you that while they might speak to our hearts and challenge us with regard to some of the things that we find in our lives day by day, we thank you that thy word does not leave us without a solution. And so we pray that thou must help each one of us, that indeed our lives might be such as to be honoring to thee, and that our speech might indeed be seasoned with salt, so that we might be helpful to one another. We ask this for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.